www.thebrainfarm.com.
This is Chris Evans recording a Storage Unpacked podcast. I'm here with Martin. How are you doing this week, Martin?
Yeah, not too bad, Chris. It's dark when we're recording now.
It is, very much so. And mornings are getting a bit chillier. Not that I'm out in the mornings these days, but they are a bit chillier.
Yeah, they are a bit chillier. So, yeah, fall, autumn is definitely here.
I think we've been quite lucky this week because it's been calm. I think we're going to have another week that's a bit calm and pleasant, so yeah, not too bad. Have you been collecting conkers?
No, but my wife has. And then she complains because they don't stay shiny.
They don't. They dry out really quickly, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't remember them drying out that quickly, but they must have always done. Maybe it's our own our home central heating system's doing it.
I don't know. It's because conkers, they don't make them like they used to, Chris.
No, they definitely
don't. Getting
old,
you see.
Yeah. I picked a whole load when I was at the pub the other day because they've got a tree that overlooks the garden outside. And I picked handfuls of them up and then some of the kids came around looking for them. And I thought, I can't really sit here and not give them back. So I gave them all back bar one. So
you should have sold them.
Could have done. Their parents were there as well. It might look a bit obvious, me offering asking for money to some 8-year-old kids in a pub. Wouldn't have been good. It wouldn't have been a good look, would it?
Don't know, but you could explain to them this is the way the market works.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, maybe I could have done that. Maybe I could have got myself into a lot of trouble. Anyway, moving on. Gosh, every week we seem to divert into talking about something that's totally not related to storage. So we should really try and drag it back to the storage discussion. And I can't even think of a good link to bring us from conkers to what we are going to talk about this week. And that's, well, we're going to talk about Amazon. We're going to talk about AWS. We're going to talk about disruption. So this seemed like an interesting topic simply because Cloudflare made an announcement last week, I think, maybe the week before, as their 11th birthday. It's hard to believe they're only 11 years old. And they announced something called R2, which, when you actually look at it, S3, one letter back. Think of any other examples where people have hidden names and things as a reference?
Well, we do have HAL and IBM.
Yep, absolutely. HAL 9000. I always get that confused. Is HAL the one that says, I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave?
Indeed, yeah.
So, sorry, I'm going to divert again. I'm going down another rabbit hole. In the film Dark Star, when they were trying to persuade the bomb not to explode,
yeah,
and talking to the bomb, I can't remember what the bomb said, because the bomb talked back, didn't it?
I can't remember.
Oh, well, anyway.
I just remember Dark Star being quite amusing at the time, but also very low budget.
Very, very much so. Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, we're not also getting into being a film review podcast either. We'll get back to storage again. So Cloudflare, R2, some type of S3 compatible object storage solution. Doesn't seem there's a lot about it at the moment that they're publishing. It's still in development from what I read today when I was just writing some notes up. So this seems to be more of a intended announcement rather than something concrete, but an interesting one nonetheless.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Cloudflare themselves are interesting. They appear to be aggressively targeting Amazon for various reasons. I mean, they're a part of an industry group I can't remember the name of it, Chris, you might remember, but who talk about egress is a big problem, egress costs, and so I've been talking about that, and this is what seems to be their USP to a certain extent with R2. It's a bit of a me-too S3 product, but they're saying no egress charges, which has been the blocker for a lot of people putting a lot of stuff into cloud.
Yeah, in fact, actually, I'll come back to it when we look at a bit of a vendor roundup. But obviously, there are typically three charges, aren't there, in S3? There's capacity charge for the amount you're actually storing, which is now tiered so that you get the ability to archive it off down to cheaper stuff. There's API calls, which is, you know, how many times do you access an object, read and write, all that sort of stuff. And then there's the egress charge to actually access the data outside of the Amazon network. Now, obviously, if you were accessing that data within the Amazon network, that egress charge wouldn't apply, but it does apply when you take it out of the network. Which, first of all, let's just talk about that, actually, because I think that in itself is quite interesting, and it'll set us up for something we'll talk about later. But that whole idea of an egress charged for moving your data out but not moving your data in, it seems like that they were very, very clever up front thinking about lock-in and trying to get you to stay on that platform.
Yeah, it's a bit of a trap. You can find that you suddenly got many petabytes of data in Amazon and it's going to cost you a lot of money to get it out. is clever. And also, I think there's a lot of money to be made there. I mean, Cloudflare have come up with some interesting examples, and so has Corey Quinn, talking about if you're a... And I wonder what the impact will be on smaller content creators and things like that. If you're a small content creator and you create something which goes viral, you're suddenly... And everybody's now pulling your video out of S3, however you're presenting it, you could be suddenly looking at a lot of money.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle, isn't it? And I guess another connection there for Cloudflare is obviously they've got a CDN network.
Yeah.
So they've got the ability to front an object store wherever they deploy it. And let me just have a look at my my notes here. I think when I did a quick search, yeah, they've got about 250 locations, Cloudflare. Yeah. So they're well distributed. And if they wanted to be a CDN network for all of the data that's in their R2 platform, they wouldn't be too bad for them, really. It'd be pretty good. They'd have pretty close access to just about everybody. So it seems that potentially it's not about Cloudflare standalone object storage, which wouldn't be that interesting. It's more about what they do with other things and how they combine it and how they can add other features to that platform that they give you.
Yeah, I think so. But they've already been doing a certain amount with serverless anyway. They have their own sort of, I think they call them workers, to do stuff. And I think this is just the next step along.
Okay. All right, let's have a look at some of these other vendors that are in the market. Now, I managed to find, or at least I managed to divide people into four groups here.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being cloud providers in general. So pretty obviously you'd have people like Oracle, Google Cloud, Azure, but they're not S3 compatible. So maybe we'll just throw them under the bus and get rid of them. Then you've got Zadara, who are almost in a data center, but not quite. They're sort of co-located. Yeah. And then you've got others which are sort of coming up, bubbling up, like DigitalOcean, Backblaze, Wasabi, one called Tebby I'd never heard of. I couldn't really find a lot of detail on that one, so put that to the side. And the interesting thing about these is they're all got something slightly different about them. So just going through the list here, Wasabi, no egress or API charges, but only three data centers in the US, one in Amsterdam, one in Tokyo. So not particularly widespread.
Yeah.
But they do offer physical ingest. So you can get this thing called a Wasabi ball, put your data on it, ship it to them, which is really good.
Yeah.
Then you look at, say, Backblaze, cheaper, but they do charge for some transactions. So there is a transactional charge there.
Yeah.
They do have a physical device for ingest and some lifecycle rules. But here's the interesting one about them. I couldn't find any real details about location.
Oh, okay.
So we know they're US-based. On their website, it talks about US and Europe. But when I went and looked at the API to see how you would specify where you wanted your data in buckets or by object, there isn't any ability to indicate how you would do placement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a bit sort of not sure whether that really exists. And then obviously DigitalOcean's only got five data centers with what they call spaces, which is their offering. But they do CDN as well. So CDN is interesting because there's quite a few of these vendors that are trying to combine the two, because clearly that seems to be a really obvious use case, I think, that people would want to use it for.
Yeah, I think the CDN, and I wonder if we're going to start seeing other CDN providers start to move into this space as well.
So that's that side of it. Now, we'll come and talk about features in a second, but let's just talk about some of the others in terms of those other categories I talked about. So you could just build it yourself. You could build your own solution sitting on top of an existing cloud, which would be a bit bizarre, but you could do it. Yeah. So you could deploy Ceph or MinIO, and those two would work quite happily. You could crowdsource and use Storage or StoreJ, as I see it, whatever time I look at it, which is, sharing space on your hard drive. Or you could use any of the normal on-prem hybrid guys, Cloudion, Storage Grid from NetApp, Scalar-T, Dell, Hitachi, you name it. There's a whole load of those. But that's not really what I guess we're talking about here. We're talking about the competition that Cloudflare could be introducing as part of them challenging the Amazon model. Do we? And I think, do we really think this is a disruptive play here? I mean, why are people getting so excited about it?
I think it is potentially disruptive because the scale of Cloudflare. I mean, you mentioned Wasabi, and we already know Wasabi don't charge you for egress. Actually, I don't believe IBM do either. So there's a few people who don't, but it's just the size of Cloudflare and their infrastructure they have rolled out. They have a global infrastructure. If they're going to do something clever, like almost so wherever you are, which actually makes sense, your data feels local, that will be disruptive. So if you don't have to worry, not just worry about egress, but if they're going to do some clever stuff and there's some intelligence in what they do, which they might have because they have CDN technology, they might understand how you'll move things closer to the edge. It could be disruptive. But is it purely disruptive based on cost?
Well, now this is...
feels it might be.
This is the thing, isn't it? So when we look and say, what are the vendors challenging on? I could only think in terms of cost, and the most obvious one being the egress fees that they talk about. Now, some of the other vendors talk about cost in terms of object. Wasabi, quote, you know, they're so much percentage cheaper than Amazon, whatever. But, you know, do we really think that's really competitive or disrupting? Because what's to say that Amazon just couldn't just drop their prices again? They've done it before. They've chosen to stop doing that and to start introducing cheaper quality tiers, you know, the ones that haven't got quite the same level of resilience or whatever. But what's to stop them just dropping their price again? I mean, they've got an infrastructure that's been there for 15 years. Surely they can afford to sweat it a bit more and cut their costs if they really wanted to.
I suspect they probably could, and I think they could. I mean, I did look at the Cloudflare pricing, and the Cloudflare pricing on list is pretty aggressive against Amazon. It's pretty much close to 50% of the cost, even excluding the egress charges. Yeah. I haven't looked at what their API costs are, but I imagine they're going to be very, very competitive.
Yeah.
So could Amazon cut the just trash their prices? Yeah, I suspect they could. We've seen it. We did see that they had that. We had a mini war between themselves and Google at one point when prices seemed to start to come down. One of the things I haven't looked very closely at is what Cloudflare are doing around tiering. Seems to be a single tier at the moment. And I'm just wondering if they're actually tiering automatically and then just not telling you.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to come back to some of the points you just said there in a second. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to throw out a few other things that Amazon probably have that the others might have to go out and actually develop and build into their platform. So, for example, API integration. We see that quite strongly in the ecosystem of AWS around things like security, workflow, backup, all that. The tiering you just talked about, obviously, then that tied to that is multi-level pricing differentials for different tiers of stuff. And obviously there's intelligence around that now, isn't there?
Yeah.
The workflow built around moving stuff automatically for you rather than you have to build your own workflow schedules. The whole workflow piece now that they've put in front so that you can actually pull data out and transform it as you read it and you then write it. So there's, you know, the Lambda functions that sit around that. CDN and peering. Now, this one could be relevant to Cloudflare. So that's the one we'll come back to. And tied to that is global reach. And then there's resiliency, performance, throughput, that sort of thing. And those, I think, are just table stakes for me. You know, you're not going to build an object storage platform today that isn't as resilient as Amazon's already or any of the others. They're all pretty similar. But let's go back to CDN and peering and global reach. Now, first of all, you said already about the whole idea of, you know, making your data always seem local all the time.
Mm.
And that's definitely something that Cloudflare would have a skill at. Surely, can Amazon not pick up on that one? You know, do you think there's not a plan in their background to do something with more local CDNs? Would they need to do that? I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know, think through what Amazon could or couldn't be working on or could or couldn't be doing to go that extra mile and build their own CDNs.
They could do it. And I thought they did have a CDN.
Well, they do have a CDN offering, definitely. I don't know where those points of presence are and how distributed they are, or whether that's just a logical CDN that's served out of their existing data centers.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself. I've not looked it in any depth. So Amazon could do something, but what it would mean is they would be changing some of their models quite a lot. And that's where it starts potentially becomes complicated for them. They may find that they're going to have to trash some of their margins. We talk about egress, but remember there's also, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I thought there was, if you want to transfer between regions, there's also a cost for moving data between regions as well.
Yeah, I believe there is. I think there's a few little bits and pieces like that, aren't there? Because effectively, I think they think or they assume that that goes outside of their network across something else and back again, for which they would be charged that bandwidth. Yes, I don't think that's free, which, all of these little things could be quite relevant if, or based on how widespread Cloudflare's CDN and peering with other networks should be in order to deliver the services they already deliver today. So bearing in mind the services they do deliver today, you'd think that the S3 traffic would be just like a drop in the ocean compared to what they're already doing.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I think they're sweating an asset. Maybe they've realized well, we have talked about bandwidth and the cost of bandwidth has come down massively. And they obviously have a lot of sunk cost into their bandwidth. And then it's just a case of building up storage devices. And we know they're not particularly expensive to build, really. Certainly if you're talking about object storage where you're not, but where you're not aiming at the highest performance levels.
No. And if you're doing stuff that's CDN based, then you can tear that down anyway. You know, you can have multiple layers and the most of it can be sitting on it on hard drive. It's only that initial read, unless you've got something that's totally random and being read, then you're probably okay. So maybe it's not going to be that hard for them to do.
Yeah, and then somebody can come along with doing something like Netflix have internally. They have a file, they have their own file system called MesFS, which sits in front of S3 and gives a POSIX interface to S3 objects. But it's not really. What it's doing is it's chunking up objects. So you, maybe they could do, maybe that would actually work quite nicely there. You could chunk things up across your Cloudflare. You might find that you get a lot more parallel data transfers, a lot more performance out of it. But and you're not playing any egress. It might actually be quite a good use case for what Cloudflare are doing.
Mm. So when we start digging in there, you start to see that specifically the way that your application works, specifically the way that the implementation of the platform works, can actually be very beneficial for certain clients. So this is all about, surprise, surprise, application profile, data profile, how you're using that data. So the detail is the key bit here, I think, by the sounds of it. And it seems to be that it's probably not going to be the smaller customer who's got a few terabytes out there. That's going to be a real target for this, to be honest, because, you know, what's the point? And that sort of gets us to this idea of inertia. You know, when you're in S3, it's not going to be easy to get out. So the bigger customers are going to have more of a challenge to do that, to get out of S3, unless they can find a way around that.
Do they end up using the capabilities? I mean, Amazon will let you physically, but you can do a physical export of it somehow to truck, and you'd have to take your truck and move it across to Cloudflare, and it might be an expensive cost, but it's a one-off cost and you move it. I've seen some other interesting ideas about how you might do this and how it might turn out to be a thing which you do over time, where you have, you've probably seen a similar thing which proposed, where you might have a lot of data sitting in Amazon's IA, infrequent access, which is cheaper. You front that with Cloudflare, which Cloudflare's got some interesting migration tools, the way it will allow you to do migration over time. You can link a Cloudflare bucket, as far as I can see, to an Amazon bucket, and as you pull data out, it will move it into your Cloudflare bucket. It's opportunistic from that point of view. If you've got something which is a hot object, which gets accessed a lot, and this way you'll get resilience as well. You'll have it in Amazon, and you can say, actually, I'm going to take advantage of all Amazon's expertise in resilience. Keep it in mind, but the actual access tier will be Cloudflare. You'll access through that. But if there's a problem, you lose an object, you just go back to the Amazon infrequent access, or even if you want to write something which goes back to Glacier and you pull it across, pull it out, it's there again, but you're only ever paying to pull that out once. You're not having to pay to do lots of different restores, depending on what it is, or refresh your CDN, however you want to do it. So there may be almost a parasitical relationship they can take for the time being as they try and get the larger customers on board. Because you can say, actually, you can use Amazon's cheapest S3 tier. You can use all their infrequent access and use us as your fast tier. So that's a possibility there.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, this again is about being clever with the way you place stuff, the way you use it, and exploiting the value of the cloud without actually necessarily assuming you have to go all in with one provider. Now, it might make your process a bit more complicated, but, you know, that's just down to documentation and making sure you build it correctly. But potentially the savings could be massive to the point that it might only possibly be worth other vendors coming in and trying to develop front ends and features that allow this to be moved around a lot more rapidly and frequently than it does today. And as an example, we know that Scality had Zenko. I'm not sure where Zenko is nowadays, whether that's rolled into something else, but clearly that was a foresight to say, you know, you might want the ability to do movements in the background, or as you said, front end it. And as you're reading it for another purpose, at the same time, you archive it out or cache it in another platform. So it could get really interesting. And depending on the API integrations that are out there and the other features, you could build something pretty smart for moving data between all these different vendors.
NetApp have done some interesting things with their cloud tiering, the way where they cloud tier off blocks. Yeah. So you with the filers and something like this, but where you don't really worry about the fact that those blocks may come back. and then move backwards and forwards. And so volatility of reading isn't as much of a problem as it would be if you're using one of the traditional cloud vendors, for instance.
Yeah.
So I can see that this does allow, it allows an economic and effective and efficient use of some of these cloud caching to front ends. So you want to build hybrid, it becomes a really, it actually has some very interesting implications for how you might build a hybrid storage platform.
So what it says to me is that, you know, part of whatever that we design like that, or whatever anybody else designs, there's, as usual with the cloud, a need to massively understand the implications of making a decision one way or another, and how the costs work out and how they actually translate. Now, that is interesting when you look at some of the others we talked about there, like Wasabi and various others, that if they're not going to charge egress charges on anything, do they become the front end to all of this? Any of them could do that. But it seems that you're going to need to have other technology like the CDN stuff, because otherwise the use cases probably aren't going to be there with a single vendor to make this work. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's where Cloudflare have been really clever to bring some of the technology they've already got today and add this to it, rather than the other way around.
And they have the scale. And they definitely have the scale compared to someone like Wasabi, okay, Oracle and IBM, Azure, Google, they all have scale as well. But they also may just do it by challenging the status quo as well, coming up and say, like, okay, you can do this. And it might be just one of those things where they just look a bit cooler than the others.
Yeah, that is true. And I think it makes it difficult to see how, for example, DigitalOcean could take their CDN when they've only got 5 data centers, not very widely spread. They'd have a long way to go to get to that point to produce anything similar or meaningful, if the type of data profile is that the one that we've just been talking about, the CDN type. But I suppose there could be other types of data that access that people want, and that might not all be about this, but this does seem to be where this is all headed in terms of what we're seeing from these vendors at the moment.
I think so. Yeah, and you're right. So the DigitalOcean, Backblaze, they're at a disadvantage at the moment. They just don't have the scale to do something like this. It feels like Cloudflare have the scale, and they, as I say, I think they're looking at Amazon and AWS margins and thinking,
have a bit of that.
Well, Bezos once famously said, didn't he, your margin is my opportunity. And they've looked at it and gone, your margin is my opportunity.
So there's the thing, isn't it? So let's dig into that in a bit more detail then, and see whether we think Amazon itself is being disrupted as part of something like this, or whether this is just somebody chipping around the edges. Because I look at some of the other vendors and I think, this is not to be unfair to Wasabi or DigitalOcean, because I'm sure they've got customers internally who want to use their object store platform because they're using some of their other services. But they're not going to challenge Amazon in a big way. They might be able to build a business out of it if they can make the margins work, but they're only chipping away around the edges, as far as I can see, at the monolith of Amazon. So they don't seem to me to be a long-term competitor unless something changes in the market for them.
Yeah, I can't see how they grow to become a true competitor for them. It's a very expensive game to get into. And they're great products. DigitalOcean have done some really clever things and some great things. And we know that we've had Backblaze on. And we really like them. They're a really nice company. Remarkable what they've managed to achieve, but can they actually go to the next stage and become a tier one cloud provider or even tier one cloud storage provider? It doesn't feel that you can. It feels very hard.
On that basis, it seems like there isn't that much genuine competition to the scale of what we're talking about. But is there anybody else who could come into the market or partner with anybody who's got a CDN network like this who could challenge somebody as big as Cloudflare? And I don't know the networking industry to know that, but you think there must be.
There's companies like Fastly who do, and you look at their website, they talk quite a lot about edge compute and they're a CDN company. It's the CDN companies.
Yeah.
Many other people who could do, telcos could do, some of the bigger telcos could do if they wanted, but most of them seem to be making friends with Amazon at the moment. So.
Yes, unlikely. Okay, so here's a question then. What's to stop Amazon just dropping its egress charges and just saying, well, do you know what? We'll just, I was going to use the term drop our trousers, but that's probably not PC, is it, to say. So, you know, what's to stop Amazon just saying we'll just take a haircut and just reduce our egress charges to a much lower level, or allow people to, you know, have a sliding scale or something like that?
I'll be careful what I say on this, but it is known that Amazon will negotiate on egress charges. And there are various ways of dropping them anyway, with things like Direct Connect. You can start reducing them. But there's nothing stopping them from, in general, starting to do this. The only problem will be, I think they make a lot of money out of egress charges. And that's what their margin on those is pretty high. Do they really want to take that hit? And the other thing is, if you start dropping your egress charges, it does mean it's even easier for people to start, or cheaper to start, using things like Cloudflare, because you can pull that data out at a lower cost.
Yeah, you don't really want to sort of encourage the ability to actually move your data.
No.
You just want to leave that lock-in there and offer other services that might be more attractive,
yeah,
like reducing your base cost, or even taking away the API calls, reducing those, but not reducing the egress charge.
They could, but there are things which they could do. They could start looking at how reducing the cost which you pay for your capacity. They might say, actually, yeah, and we'll look at compression ratios, and if we're compressing your blocks, your object storage, will you pay for the disk used and not for the actual, not for the data. That's something they could do, and there's an opportunity there for, obviously, and everybody can react, and we end up in a race to the bottom, which isn't a bad thing. Not a bad thing for the end users and users in general. It's probably long overdue. We've pointed out so many times, Chris, that Amazon actually haven't dropped the price of standard S3 since, what, 2016?
Yeah, it's been a while. I can't remember the exact date, but you're right. They had the sliding scale, and then they swapped from reducing the base charge to giving you cheaper options.
Yeah. Are we going to see the new tiers? Are we going to see something else come in as well? I suspect we might do.
What about, you could look at it and also say, do we really have the level of performance in a high performance object? Is there an opportunity for people to go the other way around and start, instead of saying we're going to reduce the costs and it all being about price reduction, somebody building out a much faster, high performance file system that delivers what, I know that NetApp have put their file system in there, but I meant object storage. You know, that's another option, isn't it, that we start to see other products come in that are totally different to S3, but still use the S3 protocol, like an S3, what would you call it? An S3 fast, or even T4.
T4?
Yeah. No, maybe not. T4. But could people go the other way around and put in, a high-performance S3, something like that? There's plenty of opportunity, isn't there, in this market?
There's plenty of opportunity, and Amazon just need to, but they may have to drop their egress charges. But they just look at all this. But the thing with Amazon is, and AWS, is you can look at the services they offer, and you'll be there for many, many moons trying to work out what they all are. But it's a service rich, and they may be saying, you know what? Yeah, absolutely. Cloudflare are cheaper, but can they do this? Can they do that? And can you do that? And if you want to use our services, it will still be more cost effective to use our storage, because otherwise you're going to be ingressing and egressing out of our. So you might be better off that. And it's until such time as Cloudflare or another competitor, for instance, have a more fully featured option where you can run something equivalent EC2 or a proper equivalent for Lambda, all the other services, DynamoDB, all this stuff. But then again, where did Amazon start?
They started with S3.
Yeah, so this is what we're going to see.
And I think that's the interesting bit. So, you know, that in itself could say that this could be disruptive. We just haven't actually seen the effects of the disruption yet. And we might be looking at this in 3 or 4 years' time and thinking, wow, that was the inflection point where something happened, where it took a bit of time, but it actually did get there. And it could be that, for example, bearing in mind Cloudflare are all over the place and where they are today, so I don't know how valuable they are or what the financing is. But you could imagine somebody could buy them. They could partner with somebody. You know, somebody like Google must have thousands of data centers or locations or capabilities similarly to this. So maybe a partnership might come out of nowhere, or an acquisition might come out of nowhere that adds those additional services that starts to build up enough to challenge Amazon. That angle about service breadth and depth, I think, becomes an interesting one for the cloud vendors that are trying to protect some of their existing markets. And you've highlighted the fact that there are certain services that you would get that might be so tightly integrated to S3 that it would be very difficult to use anything else other than the native service to make that work properly. Like these Lambda egress functions and things like that. That seems to be a feature of the cloud that we, I think, have to get used to, is that the vendors will do so much to keep you on their platform and keep you locked in, that it becomes very difficult to build a sort of generic service out of multiple components.
Well, it's an embrace and extend.
Yeah, it is.
Have you seen that before?
Yeah. Yeah, entirely.
The other thing which it could drive, something like this could drive, is, and how about partnership with something like Cisco to drive edge compute?
Yeah, maybe that's what's needed for us to get the level of disruption or more competition, is a big piece of disruption like that from somebody like Cisco that needs to do some. Do they need to do something different? Do they need to come out with a different business or a different approach? Perhaps you could say they do, but that would be an interesting one. Maybe that's the next stage, this idea of, you know, even bigger mega companies to take on the cloud companies.
Partnership with Apple.
You never know. There's lots of different options, isn't there?
Apple make a big use of Google storage. They're one of Google's storage biggest customers. They don't talk about it an awful lot, but it has been revealed. But so partner with somebody like Cloudflare, where they're not actually directly in competition with each other in other spaces, might make some sense. Put that, and you have your Apple storage on there, your iCloud storage enables that.
Yeah, and Apple must be doing something like some sort of CDN-ish type technology, because you can upload and download wherever you are, mobile, desktop, Wi-Fi. Yeah. So that must have a degree of that in there already. Let's just sort of wrap up with a discussion about what we think this means then. Because initially when we started talking about this, I was trying to think, do we think there's actually any genuine competition, any chance of any disruption here? Do we think Amazon itself is being disrupted? And initially I thought perhaps not. But the further we've got into this, the more I've realized that actually there is a potential chance that you know, it could happen. There is a set of scenarios that could actually cause it to happen.
Yeah, there are. It depends how they partner. It depends on the use. Depends on customers embracing it.
So when we thought the cloud was almost Amazon was untouchable, you start to think that maybe that's just not the case. So do you think there's any other areas within Amazon or the cloud that could also be disrupted? I think S3 is quite an easy one because obviously it has a direct external connectivity, you know, so you could use it directly on another platform and read and write data to it. But I'm trying to work out whether there's any way that, you know, there's an opportunity to disrupt anything else that Amazon does or AWS does. I'm not sure it's that simple because most of the services tend to be inward looking and more insular, I think.
I think where Amazon could be disruptive, even though they do have a massive lead in actually, I think this is where Google and Microsoft made a bit of a mistake in letting Amazon get such a big lead. I think there is still potential disruption in serverless. I think if you could actually put some, which as I say, I mean, Cloudflare already have workers. They had workers before them. If they can tie those closely to their storage and you're doing stuff and then sending that back out again, I think there is potential for disruption there.
Hmm. Okay, that makes me think immediately is that when we look at the way that Amazon started, it started off as a compute-heavy, compute-focused platform, and services were added around that. I know S3 might come first, but in general, if you look at, say, the way that the services were constructed, they're constructed around compute, and that's the way it's gone. What you just said there is a data-centric focus, where data is the center of that, and the ability to get your data in and out and manipulate it is then controlled by functions that sit in the outside. So the compute becomes less of the focus and the data becomes the focus. And that transformation could be the sort of thing that could actually make somebody step away from, you know, the traditional cloud and do something different.
Yeah.
Not to say you wouldn't have, you know, normal compute and other things like structured databases and stuff in traditional ways of doing it. But, you know, that might be the long-term view, is that you change your model and you become more data-centric.
Yeah, you could do. And there's the other place where Cloudflare might play is some kind of neutral storage cloud where you're storing all your data and the way it gets pulled out into various things. So you can use best of breed from Amazon, Google and Azure. So it pulls out, you do your processing, because often when you're processing mass data, your results are much smaller. So you could use it for AI, you could use it for all kinds of things, and you're just getting a result out.
I think we don't really know the answer at this stage, which is interesting. But I think we've questioned enough different areas to make us think that this is an area we need to keep watching over the next 18 months, especially when Cloudflare does bring out whatever the R2 solution is going to look like, to really see what this is going to be, because I think we could see some disruption, we could see something change, and it's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Martin, excellent. That's really gone down some interesting, like we always say, rabbit holes every week. But there's definitely some other areas to think about here. But I'm really looking forward to see where this is going to head.
Yeah, and if anybody from Cloudflare is listening who wants to come in and talk about what they're doing, we would be more than happy to talk to them.
Absolutely, we would. Yeah, very much so. But let's see what happens. But for now, as usual, Martin, thanks very much. Great conversation. Catch up next time.
Yeah, catch you next time. Cheers, Chris.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.